بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي كفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected honorable علماء الكرام, brothers, elders in Islam. In our previous majlis, I mentioned that Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi, one of the foremost compilers of hadith, very renowned, he prepared his famous book known as Sunan Abu Dawud. And as I mentioned in the previous majlis, the ahadith that are recorded in this magnum opus, in this renowned book of hadith, has been taken from a memory bank of 500,000 ahadith. This is the amount of ahadith that Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi and many other muhaddithin of the time had committed to memory. From this memory bank of 500,000 ahadith, 500,000 ahadith, Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi then handpicked 4,800 hadith, which he then recorded in this famous book of hadith, Sunan Abu Dawud. After having completed this compilation, Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi then sifted through the entire book, and then he said that from all these 4,800 hadith, I have selected 4 special ahadith. And these ahadith are such that if a person practices upon these 4 ahadith, if he practically implements them, then he has in essence carried out the entire laws of deen in a condensed form. In other words, these 4 ahadith summarize our entire deen. If a person can practice upon these 4 ahadith, then it is as if he has encapsulated the entire deen and brought the entire deen into his life. So what are his ahadith? I mentioned in the previous majlis the 4 ahadith, and last month's majlis we dealt with one hadith. We go on to another hadith from these 4 ahadith which Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullah personally selected. In the last majlis we discussed the hadith where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "Min husni Islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi," that from the good characteristics of a Muslim is that he should discard and leave aside every such thing that does not concern him. In other words, that is of no benefit to him, not in the dunya and not in the akhirat. Something that is totally worthless, something of an idle pursuit type of a nature, that should be totally removed from his life. This we discuss in detail in the last month's majlis. The other 3 ahadith that Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullah selected, one is where a hadith mentioned in his book, where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that لا يكون المسلم مسلما حتى يرضى لأخيه ما يرضى لنفسه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. That a Muslim, a mu'min, cannot become a true mu'min until he likes for his fellow Muslim brother that what he likes for himself. The 3rd hadith that he selected is the one where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions Al-halalu bayinun wal-haramu bayinun wa bayinahuma mushtabihat, that those things which are halal have been made clear and manifest in our deen. To bring those things into our lives, to utilize those halal activities of life, and there are certain things that are haram which ought to be avoided. But between the halal and haram, there is a fine line of those items which are doubtful. That even these things should be avoided in order for a person to bring about taqwa in his life. And the 4th hadith, which is the one we will be discussing today, where Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "Innamal a'malu bin niyat," that surely actions are judged according to intentions. "Wa innama likulli imri'in ma nawa," and each person will be rewarded or punished in accordance with the type of intention that he formulated in his heart. And then Nabi Karim some further elaborates in the hadith that man kanat hijratuhu ila Allahi wa rasulihi fa hijratuhu ila Allahi wa rasulihi, that the person who migrates, in those days it was compulsory for the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in to free themselves from the persecution, from the shackles of the kuffar, to migrate from Makkah to Medina. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he emphasized the importance of migrating for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the person who migrates from Makkah to Medina in order to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in order to serve the Rasul of Allah Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if his migration is based on integrity, on sincerity, then he will be rewarded accordingly. On the other hand, if another person migrates for another purpose, for a hidden agenda, for an ulterior motive, وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَةُ إِلَىٰ دُنْيَا أَوْ إِمْرَأَةٍ إِلَىٰ دُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ إِمْرَأَةٍ يَتَزَوَّجُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَىٰ مَا هَجَرْ إِلَيْهِ, that if he migrates from Mecca to Medina for some worldly or material gain, or in order to get married to a certain lady that is inclined towards, then that will be all that he will achieve from his migration. In the Akhirah there will be no reward. This worldly gain he will acquire, but further than that, that migration will not be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this hadith teaches us that whatever good deed we do should always be done in order to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to draw the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not do any good deed for some other hidden agenda, for some ulterior motive. Whatever we do, we should do it solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these muhaddithin, people like Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi, they put down these ahadith in their books of hadith, but they were not men of mere words. They were men of action. Whatever they compiled, whatever they recorded, whatever they memorized, whatever they learned, they would put it into practice in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take the example of Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi, whom we are busy discussing. On one occasion, Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi was walking along the shore, along the coastline, and as he walked along the coastline, a boat happened to pass by. As the boat passed by, someone on the boat happened to sneeze, and he said, Alhamdulillah, which we have been taught in the hadith, that when you sneeze, you say Alhamdulillah. This was a teaching in the sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But at the same time in the hadith we are taught that a Muslim enjoys certain rights over another Muslim, and among those rights, one is Tashmeetul Aatis, that when you hear a person sneezing, we have said Alhamdulillah, to reply to his sneeze by saying Yarhamukallah. So Imam Dawud rahmatullahi heard someone sneezing. Because he was all alone at that time on the coastline, he looked around to see who had sneezed. He could see no one on the shore. Then he realized that the boat that just passed by a little while ago, perhaps a passenger on that boat had sneezed, and perhaps he said Alhamdulillah, so I should reply to his sneeze. But now the boat has already went by, how will I catch up with that boat? So he saw a man with a little boat standing along the shore, and he went up to that person and asked to hire his boat. So the man fixed the price that for 2 or 3 dirhams I can take you to catch up with that bigger boat, which was still traveling at a very slow pace. So he got onto this boat, the man started rowing furiously, eventually caught up with a bigger boat, and he clambered upon that boat, and he made inquiries that who sneezed. So the person who had sneezed admitted, he said, I sneezed and I said Alhamdulillah. To that Imam Dawud rahmatullah now replied to him, Yarhamukallah, which is the teaching of the hadith. No sooner had he said Yarhamukallah, than he heard a voice from the unknown, unseen, telling him, which was obviously glad tiding from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, O Abu Dawud, today we have purchased Jannat for mere 2 dirhams. In other words, by spending 2 dirhams in order to carry out a sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that also for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala has blessed you with the glad tidings of Jannat. So this shows how important it is to carry out deen injunctions, to do righteous deeds for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with sincerity, with integrity, then it will be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ayah which I recited, there too, Allah ta'ala refers to the Ahl-e Kitab. But it also addresses us as well, that وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينِ. That the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, were commanded to worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that also how were they commanded? مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينِ. That their deen and their worship should be devoted solely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There must be no ulterior motive, no hidden agenda, solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The worship of Allah must be carried out. Hunafa'a, separating oneself from all different doctrines, from all hidden agendas, from all ulterior motives, to be focused directly and totally to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That my ibadah is solely to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then that ibadah will be accepted. And further Allah ta'ala says, وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاةَ. And then for the pleasure of Allah, they should establish salah and pay their zakat due. وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ. That is a true and that is a correct path of deen. That is when a person embarks on the path of deen, a person should embark on that path with total honesty, sincerity, integrity. Today in our worldly matters too, if a person has to do a good turn, a good deed to us, in order to show his affection, his love for us, his friendship, and he does it sincerely out of friendship, we appreciate the deed of his. But if a person has a hidden agenda, ulterior motive behind it, then that is not appreciated. For instance, if for example you invite a person to your home, invite him for meals, which is a sunnah, to invite someone, but that should be done sincerely, with no hidden agenda, no strings attached. You invite the person, you prepare a sumptuous meal for the person, serve the meal, even though it may be a simple meal. But when he sees the sincerity, the love, the friendship that you are portraying, that person will leave your home with a good thought about you. He will also develop a liking for you. He will appreciate that you invited him. But on the other hand, let us assume that the person you invited, you serve a sumptuous meal. But at the end of the meal, you drop the bombshell. Because the person you invited happens to work, let us say for home affairs, and you need a passport urgently. So invited him so that he can attend to your need of the passport and get the work done, get the documents prepared overnight, so to say. So whatever appreciation that man had for your invitation, that will be washed down the drain. When he realizes there was a hidden agenda, an ulterior motive, he will not appreciate that meal that you invited him towards. He will realize that you did not invite him out of friendship. You did not invite him in order to carry out the sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You did not invite him to earn the pleasure of Allah, but you did it for a worldly motive. So it will not be appreciated. Or for example, after you have served the meal, the person you invited happens to work for a certain foreign embassy in our country. Because you could not get your visa processed, you invited him. So after he had partaken of the meal, you plead with him to have your visa processed. Let us realize what thoughts will go through a person's mind. That this man did not invite me out of honesty, integrity. Whatever samosas he fed me, whatever biryani dished out, was in order to procure a visa. And not for the pleasure of Allah, not out of sincerity. Whatever appreciation he had in his heart will all be washed down the drain. Or for instance, the person invited, he works for a certain financial institute. You need a loan on the spur of the moment. You need a loan immediately. So after serving the meal, you then sit in one corner and speak to him, that, brother, is it possible to procure this loan? So here too, because there was a hidden agenda, an ulterior motive, that appreciation in that person's heart will be removed to absolutely nothing. He will not appreciate the invitation he gave to him, because it was not done for the pleasure of Allah. It was not done al-hubbu fillah, which has been encouraged in the hadith, that you show your love for a fellow Muslim in order to earn the pleasure of Allah. He will realize that there was an ulterior motive. He will not appreciate it, this good deed of yours. He will not appreciate it. So similarly, how can we expect that when we do a good deed, we do it for an ulterior motive, for a certain worldly gain, not for the pleasure of Allah? How can we accept Allah to appreciate that? How can we expect to be rewarded for that good deed? In fact, conversely, it could happen that even though outwardly that was a righteous deed, but because the motive was not sincere, the motivation behind the deed was not based on integrity, on sincerity, it is not very far-fetched that Allah Ta'ala will perhaps punish that person instead of rewarding that person. Because he did it for someone else's pleasure. He did it for name and fame. He did it to earn some material gain. Such a person, instead of being rewarded, there is a great likelihood that he will be punished. In the hadith, Nabi Kareem Sa'asim has warned with regard to doing something for material gain. The famous hadith where Rasulullah Kareem Sa'asim mentions that three people will be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. One will be a mujahid. The second will be a wealthy, rich person used to spend abundantly in the world on the poor, on the needy. And the third person will be an alim and qari. The first man will be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a mujahid, a person who did active battle against the kuffar on the field of jihad. Allah will call him up. Allah will remind him that, listen, I gave you great abilities. I granted you strength and vigor. I granted you arms and ammunition. I gave you the quality of bravery. How did you utilize this in the world? He will reply, by lying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can, of course, lie to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah alimun bi dhati sudur. Allah knows what is in the hearts of man. So he will lie to Allah ta'ala that, oh Allah, the strength, the health, the vigor, the wealth that you gave me, the arms and ammunition, I utilize that in your path, in the path of Allah, on the field of jihad, to fight and to battle the enemies of Islam. And I fought them until I became shaheed, martyred in your path. Allah will say to him that, no, you are lying. You fought in jihad. You battled the kuffar on the fields of jihad. لِيُقَالَ إِنَّكَ شُجَاعٌ لِيُقَالَ إِنَّكَ جَرِيٌ. You fought so that people may say, this man is very valiant. He is very brave. So yes, in the world your name came up in lights. It came up on the headlines of the newspapers that this man was a very brave person and he sacrificed his life on the field of jihad. Allah will say to him that because this was your motive, this was a driving factor so that you could earn name and fame. Whatever name and fame you looked for, you had achieved that in the world. There is nothing for you here. Allah will command the malaika, the farishtas, to throw him into the fire of Jahannam. And he will be cast, dragged, and thrown into the fire of Jahannam. So this shows that a good deed such as jihad, what better deed can we think of in these times and this age? For a person to go out in the path of Allah, to sacrifice his time, his life, his wealth in the path of Allah, What a noble deed. But if the intention behind that is not sincere, then that is useless in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second person that will be called out will be a person that was renowned for his generosity. Allah will remind him that I bestowed you with a lot of material wealth. You had all the riches of the world at your disposal. How did you utilize that wealth? He will say, Allah, I spend the wealth whenever I got the opportunity in acts of good, of righteousness. I spent it on the poor and destitute. I utilize the wealth so that people can benefit. Allah will say to him that no, you are a liar. Whatever you spent on the poor and destitute, whatever wealth and riches you distributed among the people, you did it لِيُقَالَ إِنَّكَ سَخِيٌّ, so that people might say that this is a very generous person, so that people can praise you. Your name can come out in the headlines. Pamphlets can praise you and you can be honored in lights. Your name can come up. That was your motive. That was your hidden agenda. You did not spend in my path in order to earn my pleasure. So Allah Ta'ala will command the farishtas that pick him up and drag him, throw him headlong into the fire of Jahannam. This man also will be cast into Jahannam. The third person that will be called up, a qari and an alim. Allah will remind him that I bestowed you with knowledge of my deen. You were able to recite the Quran very efficiently. I gave you knowledge of my deen. How did you utilize that? He will say, Allah, I imparted this knowledge to children in my locality. I taught them your deen. People that came to learn deen from me, I taught them the deen of Islam. I taught them the Quran, the Hadith. I recited your verses to them. So Allah will say to him, Allah knows everything. Allah will say that, no, you did this so that people can praise you. That what a great alim this person is. What a great qari he is. What a proficient reciter of the Quran. How much knowledge he possesses. What a great mufti. What a great qadi he is. You did it so that people may praise you. And because this was your hidden agenda, you earned that praise in the world. There is nothing for you here in the akhirat. Allah will command the farishtas that he should be also flung headlong into the fire of Jahannam. So these are all good deeds. What better deeds can we think of? Spending time in the path of Allah, spending our wealth on the poor and destitute, imparting knowledge of deen. But the benchmark of acceptance in the sight of Allah is integrity and sincerity. If there was no sincerity motivating this person, then those good deeds will be worthless in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the sincerity and the integrity is like a motor that we see in these fans. This fan is running at the moment because there is a motor within the fan that is propelling the blades of the fan. If that motor has to pack in, this fan will stop turning. It will be worthless, useless. It will be of no benefit whatsoever. So similarly, that sincerity, integrity, that is a motor that runs our actions to reach the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to gain acceptance in the court of Allah. Sincerity is like the ruh, the soul of the body. As long as a person is alive, people want to sit next to him, want to perhaps benefit from that person. But no matter what type of person that may be, when the ruh, when the soul is extracted from the body, then the body lies there lifeless. It lies on the bed lifeless. It is of no use whatsoever. People that wanted to sit with that man, even the close family members, cannot now tolerate to keep that corpse in the home for many hours. They know the body will start rotting, decomposing. There will be a stench in the home. The sooner the better. They try and get rid of the corpse, get rid of that body and bury it in the qabristan. Because that body was only of great worth and value as long as there was a ruh, there was a soul in the body. So similarly the ruh, the soul of our righteous deeds, of our amal, is sincerity, integrity. When there is no sincerity, integrity, those righteous deeds will be cast aside like the corpse that begins to decompose, that begins to rot, that begins to stink, which no person wants to even go near to. So similarly, actions that are based on ulterior motives, that have no sincerity, integrity behind them, in the sight of Allah, that will be like a useless, decomposing, stinking body that has no worth, no value whatsoever. So very, very important, this hadith of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to understand its importance, many muhaddithin, no less than Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh, commences his Bukhari Sharif, Asahul Kutub ibad kitabillah, the most authentic book after the Quran Kareem, with this very same hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, to emphasize how important it is to learn deen and to practice deen with sincerity, integrity. That is a yardstick, that is a benchmark for amal to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us all tawfiq of ensuring that the motivating factor in our life behind all good deeds is sincerity, integrity. Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq of living our lives with sincerity, leaving the world with sincerity, recitation of the kalima with sincerity when we leave the world. And Allah ta'ala raise us among those good people who live their lives in order to earn the pleasure of Allah with sincerity, with honesty, integrity, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.